continue with the waiting 6 hours between meat and milk. So we already explained the different opinions, 6 hours, 1 hour, and so on. Now, the next subtopic is, why do you wait 6 hours? And based on the reason, what will be the halachic implications based on the different reasons? And which one do we hold the halacha? First of all, he brings down over here an interesting kreisiu plesi, which we don't pass from Mike. The major reasons I've given the Rishonim are not what the kreisiu plesi says, but it's what people commonly think is the reason. People commonly think they have to wait 6 hours between meat and milk because it takes 6 hours for the food to digest. For meat, it takes a long time to digest in milk. And therefore, you have to wait till the digestion process is either underway, which is 1 hour, or a little bit after 1 hour, that's one shita, or it finishes, which is 6 hours. But neither is the case, except they have to define what the finish and the beginning of the digestion, right, is maybe not the scientific definition, the other definitions. But that's not the reason anyway. It's not the reason. But based on this, there's something that people have asked me repeatedly, because they've heard about it. The Chasam Sofer says that since when a person's sleeping, his digestion speeds up, as he says. So therefore, if a person ate meat, then went to sleep, pashtus, he means sleeping at night, not in the middle of the day. Went to sleep at night, woke up in the morning. When he wakes up, he can eat milk even if it's less than 6 hours. Because already the sleep and the hours that pass by are enough to make it hefsek. Well, nice, we don't hold like that and shouldn't rely on that. Maybe under extenuating circumstances where anyway you could wait an hour, maybe you could rely on this too, but otherwise we don't hold from this. And the reasons are two different reasons. One shita is that the reason is that when a person eats meat, there's a fatty residue that remains in your throat and your mouth for 6 hours till it dissipates. And because of that, there's the concept of mixing milk and meat. Okay. The other shita is that pieces of meat get caught in your teeth. And until 6 hours, they still maintain their identity as meat. And after 6 hours, they lose their identity as meat altogether, not considered meat anymore. What's the nafkamina between them? The difference is, what if you chewed meat but didn't swallow it? So if the reason is because the meat gets stuck between your teeth, so it applies here too. But if the reason is because it leaves a residue in your throat, and in your mouth, right? Just chewing the meat without swallowing it doesn't leave that kind of residue, surely not in your throat. So according to the reason of meat between your teeth, it's just chewing it without swallowing it, you also have to wait 6 hours. And according to the other reason, you shouldn't have to wait. Another nafkamina is, what if you find meat between your teeth after the 6 hours? Okay? So do you have to remove it or not? If the idea is you have to wait 6 hours to make the meat not meat, so once it's after 6 hours, then it's not meat anymore. So you don't have to clean your teeth, nothing. According to the reason that has to do with the fatty residue, meat after 6 hours between your teeth is still meat. You have to remove it before you eat milk. In either case, it's a good idea to remove the meat from your teeth. There is a shaila, what happens according to the opinion that says that even after 6 hours it's considered meat. If you don't remove it, but you swallow it. So everybody holds that if it's in there and you remove it, for sure you don't have to wait another 6 hours. And even if you don't remove it, b'di'evid, you don't have to wait 6 hours. But what if you swallow it? Since it's meat now, so you swallowed meat. There also, according to most sheet, there is a sheet that holds not like that, but l'halacha, even if you swallowed the particles of meat that were between your teeth after the 6 hours, you don't have to wait another 6 hours. Okay. there is an opinion that says that, according to the opinion that we're afraid of meat particles that get stuck in your feet, in your teeth, if you brush your teeth well and you see that there's absolutely nothing stuck between your teeth, you don't have to wait 6 hours. As long as you didn't swallow, if you only chewed food. Well, let's one step back. Who do we hold like? Like both of them, the chumrah. In other words, we're choshish for both reasons. So therefore, if a person chews meat but spits it out, he has to wait 6 hours. If you swallow meat without chewing it, right, or if you have particles of meat in your teeth after 6 hours, you have to remove them, because we're choshish for the other shita too. So we're choshish l'chumra for both shitas. But if you do something that has neither thing, for instance, you just taste food, you don't chew it, so there's no shaila of getting particles stuck between your teeth, and you, what's it called, don't swallow it, you just taste it on your tongue and spit it out, then for sure, according to everybody, you don't have to wait 6 hours. So therefore you're allowed to taste food. A woman is cooking, she wants to taste the food to see if it's too salty or whatever, and she just tastes it on her tongue, doesn't chew it, tastes it on her tongue a little bit and spits it out, it doesn't have to wait, does not become fleshic, and doesn't have to wait 6 hours. Another difference is if you take food, another nafkamina would be between the things, if you have something you don't chew, soup, right? There's no chance that the particles of soup get caught between your teeth, right? But fatty residue can be there. It's a meat soup, chicken soup. So that, we also have to wait 6 hours for something like that. But if you swallow food without chewing it and without there being any fatty residue, like a pill, a fleshic vitamin, sometimes a liver vitamin or something like that, that's real fleshic, that's as a hechsher, it's kosher, whatever, and you swallow a meat vitamin, you don't have to wait 6 hours after such a thing. Okay.
Okay,
so that those sheetas that hold one or three or whatever don't hold of this thing that the reason is because it gets caught in your teeth. They hold because that fatty residue doesn't last more than whatever. Or they hold of a different reason. I don't know what the other reason could be. They asked the Lachara, according to the reason that it has to do with digestion, what does digestion have to do with eating milchus and fleishiks? There's no isser of having milchus and fleishiks in your stomach at the same time. The isser is either cooking them together, eating them together, but the fact that you ate them separately and they're in your stomach, I want to say that maybe there is something to it, and that is that it appears like bishul basar b'chalav. Meaning the following. I once said this, and then I found that the Stipler said it before me, so we'll say it in his name. I doubt very much that he was machaven to me. It was probably the other way, since he's older than me, and the Sefer was written before I came up with the idea. But I did say it over here years ago. That is, it says Avraham Avinu gave the Malachim milchiks and then fleshiks. So there was no problem of basar b'chalav, because the milchiks came first and then the fleshiks. Yet the Medrash says that by Matan Torah, the Malachim said, we want the Torah, and Rabban Shalom made Moshe Rabbeinu's face look like Avraham Avinu, and he said to the Malachim, aren't you embarrassed to face this man who you ate basar b'chalav in his house? So Lechora, if Avraham wasn't over anything by giving it to them, they weren't over anything by eating it either, so what was the problem? So I want to say that Enochanami, Avraham Avinu gave them thinking they were human beings, gave them milchiks and then fleshiks. But Malachim don't eat like people eat. The way they ingest the food is they burn it together. So by burning basar b'chalav together, they were cooking it. So for them it was asur, because they were cooking basar b'chalav. Mashenkin, Avraham Avinu was okay to give them milks before me, because he understood that. But it could be that digestion is mamish like burning. It's almost like cooking. Right? That's what digestion is. It's a process of heat. And therefore, at least in idea, it has a concept of bishul basar b'chalav in it. So they made gzeira not to have the milchiks and fleishiks digesting at the same time. The only problem is, then, if they have the milchiks first, no, but the milchiks digest faster, that's all. It doesn't, right? If you have the fleishiks there first and then the milchik, so they're digesting together. Okay, nobody says that, but it's maybe possibly an idea of this, behind this crazy place. But that's what you said. You couldn't keep the mitzvahs one time you went down to be by people, so what do you expect to get the Torah?
I always heard in Rashi's Moshe Tam that's referring to digestion. It's still somehow, I'm not sure physically what it is, but something that still affects what's in the mouth. And when it's still Moshek Tam, you're still eating Basar V'Chalav, when you're eating it, not in your stomach.
Right here, but the fact that it hasn't digested yet makes it that in your mouth there's still a taste.
I never say
that it has to do with mamish, what's the fatty stuff in your mouth or whatever.
It comes from the digestion, not really.
What?
In Echnami, but that comes from the digestion process, not just a residue that's left in the mouth.
Right, okay, but if you don't regurgitate the food, then it's not to do with what's in your stomach or your intestines. By 6 hours later, what you feel in your mouth?
There's still something there that has that's to be called tam. I don't know, is that but physically? But that's why I've always heard Rashi explain that way.
Okay, I don't know. Okay.
The digestion should be really the opposite, because there you're trying to break it down. Whereas by visual, you're trying to
put it together
and cook it together.
Yeah, for sure there's no issur of digesting food together. It's just that maybe since it's a process of heat that it has some kind of connection. I don't know. Okay, so now what kind of foods? So since we're machmer for both ideas, both the residue and the particles between your teeth, so it applies to foods, even foods that don't leave particles or whatever, and even foods that you didn't chew. So what foods are nogeya? Meat, obviously, regular meat, chicken. Okay. How about foods cooked with meat or chicken? Mamish, not cooked in a meat pot, but cooked with meat, a cholent. But you didn't eat the meat. You ate a potato. You drank the gravy. Also, you have to wait 6 hours. Okay. Even all the foods cooked with meat. You made noodles and chopped meat. And you only ate the noodles, but they're cooked mamish together with the meat or the chicken, chicken soup. You don't eat any of the chicken, just the soup or the carrots that are in the chicken soup. You have to wait 6 hours. Okay. But if you eat foods cooked in a meat pot, even if the meat pot was a benyoma, it was used within 24 hours for meat, but it's no meat in there. You're cooking mashed potatoes or parva soup in a meat pot. There's no meat in it. You don't have to wait 6 hours for that. Somebody just recently asked me a shaila. They cut an onion with a meat knife. So onions, it doesn't make a difference if a benyoma or not. And since it's a sharp thing, it's like you cooked the onion with meat. Since the knife was a meat knife, so it's like the onion was cooked with meat. Right? Cooked in a meat pot, not cooked with meat. It's no different than cooking potatoes in a meat pot that's a benyoma. You don't have to wait 6 hours for that. You don't have to wait 6 hours if you ate an onion that was cut with a fleishik knife, because it's no worse than something cooked in a meat pot that was used for meat an hour before it was clean. So that you don't have to wait. You don't have to wait 6 hours. The opposite way we'll get to, not today, where what kind of dairy is considered dairy. There it's a different story. There, if you ate meat and now you cut an onion with a milchik knife, there it could be that it's osur to eat that onion until 6 hours pass by. Yeah.
Can you mix the onions with...
Oh, that's a different story. We learned that before. What's it called? That's a different story. Waiting 6 hours is what we're holding now. By putting it... you can even put that onion... you can't put that onion into a milchik thing if you cut it with a fleishik thing, because it's considered like benyomo. If you cook... in a not benyomo, so it's not onions. You cut a potato, right? Or you cook potatoes in a meat pot that was not used within 24 hours. You can put those potatoes into a milchik kli, but you can't do it lechatchila to eat them with milchiks. But you can put it into a milchik dish and eat it after milchiks or whatever. That we learned before, yeah.
What if you cut an onion with a fleishik knife and board, and by mistake you put it into a parv pot and you cooked it?
You put it into a
pot. What's the setup of the pot?
The onion is like part of the food that you cooked in milchik or fleishik, whatever, and it doesn't asser any
But you cut it with a fleishik.
Right. Chatchila you shouldn't, I know, but chatchila you shouldn't do that. Yeah. But it's no different than mashed potatoes that you cooked in a fleishik pot and then put into a milchik pot. You're not allowed to do that, but it doesn't make the milchik pot treif, and it doesn't make the par of the pot fleishik.
And what's the status of your eating it?
The status of your eating it, you can eat it. It depends if either of the pots were used within 24 hours. If the milchik pot was used 24 hours, then she did with milchiks. And if the fleishik pot was used within 24 hours, she did with fleishiks. And if both of them were used within 24 hours, if both of them was used within 24 hours, what do you do? Then it's not also to eat. The question is, which do you eat it with? Probably have to eat it with parv. Just with part of the things, not with milk or flesh. Okay. So that we said already. Okay. I think that's enough for today. We'll get to the other way around where you ate real fleishiks and now you want to eat milchiks. What kind of milchiks? If you cook things in a milchik pot or you cut an onion with a milchik knife, is that considered milchiks that you can't eat after fleishiks or not? But if waiting 6 hours for sure, if you cut a onion with a fleishik knife, no matter what, when you use the knife last, it was clean, so you're not eating any actual meat, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Yeah.
Two things. One, if you find meat in your teeth within the 6 hour range that you eat, like an hour after you ate
fleishik. You don't have to wait 6 hours from the time you take out the meat.
And if you swallow that, also, then you also don't have to wait.
If you swallow it within the 6 hours. Since you didn't chew it, and it's already been in your teeth, then the only shaila is, what's the cutoff point? It's interesting, shaila. Unless he did it right away, so surely you're still eating meat.
What if it's later on?
I'm saying, how much is later on?
2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours.
Or 5 hours.
So maybe anything less than 6 hours is considered like you continue eating the meat. Or maybe not. What would be the shaila? You're not chewing it anymore, so that's out. And maybe since it's just particles that were left over, they don't create that residue, it's only little particles. And the best thing is you shouldn't swallow it. You should clean your teeth. You surely don't have to wait 6 hours after you clean your teeth, even if it's less than 6 hours.
When you're tasting it in your mouth, that's not a problem.
No.
What about often like the children, teenagers, they have braces and a lot of things get stuck. It's hard to clean the teeth well, especially on Shabbos or whatever.
Yeah, so after 6 hours, you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. If you can't, the braces, you try to clean as much as they can, and whatever. There's always things that people get things stuck in their teeth they can't get out either. Yeah, 1 second, yeah.
When we're talking about 6 hours, at a Shabbos meal, when do you count that 6 hours?
From the time you stopped eating meat.
Not
in other words, if you had the cholent, we have cholent with meat, but if you have meat in the... let's say you finished eating the meat part of the meal at 12 o'clock, mm-hmm. but your meal continued on with desserts and with other things and talking till 2 o'clock, you only have to wait 6 hours from 12 o'clock.
Is it 6 full hours the way the Rav told?
We learned that. The Chatchila should wait 6 full hours. In a time of Tzorech, you can rely on into the 6th hour and more preferably after 6 and a half hours. After five and a half hours.
So if you have a minha, or your husband has a minha,
waiting into the 6th hour?
No, three
hours? Yeah, I never heard that into the 3rd hour is okay.
No, but you go by that, like we're saying, we hold here, but...
If you have a specific minig that's in the family, even though there are those that say you shouldn't rely on it, you can rely on it. It's a minig Yisrael. 3 hours, there is such a minig. German Jews, there is a minig of an hour, even though it's... that's the halacha, pretty much. So if you have a minig in the family, you didn't just adopt it, but it's a minig in the family for generations, then you can be samach on it. If it's something that when you're about tshuva and you decide, I like 3 hours, right, that you can't rely on. Then you have to go to the minig of Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
If there's a Yekki family that the minhag is 3 hours, and everybody in the family keeps 3 hours, but one particular male member of the family decided to take upon himself to wait 6 hours, and his children, do they keep the family minhag of 3, or they have to do what he took upon himself?
The person doesn't have to accept chumras that his parents accept upon themselves, that are not minogi avos. That's not called minogavos. That's a personal chumra that the person's no way. Children don't have to be makabel the chumras of parents. That's makabel minog avos. That are passed on from generation to generation because of the place they lived or whatever. And not something that individually a parent did it himself.
Okay, and my understanding is the 3-hour minhag came from the 6 halachic hours in Germany can be in the winter.
Yeah, we said that's...
you're going through this already.
That may be. I don't know.
Is that a legitimate way of taishing it, or is that the 6
hours... It's just not after the fact. Maybe that's where it... Because nobody knows where the 3 hours came from. It doesn't fit any of the... Right? Maybe. Between meals, and the shortest time between meals in Germany was in the winter, and 3 hours was a different... Whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference. For whatever reason, they were makabel that minig, and most poskim hold that you can respect the minig. Well, the Yoshev Maisa holds that the minig is a minig tos, and a person should give it up. But the whole world does not like that. So if you have a minig like that, and it's an established minig, because you come from families that had that minig for doros, then you can be relying on the minig. Since anyway, la halacha, we hold that it's 1 hour is all you have to wait. The whole thing's only a minig. So if you're not a minig, if you're a svardi, it's a little more difficult. But I don't think there's any yucky svardim. Yeah, that's why they write svardi tahor. Yeah.
So if one is flying on a plane and you had dinner, I don't know, say midnight or 10 o'clock, whatever it is, but you're flying... And all of a sudden it's breakfast time and it's 5 hours. Now, according to your own body, it's not 6 hours, but according to where you're flying, it's less. It's 4 hours or it's 5 hours. What do you do for breakfast? Do you have to wait the extra few hours?
Well, how many hours really went on your watch? How many hours went by?
Without
change. Five. No, because the way you said it in the beginning was the opposite of what you said in the end. In other words, if 6 hours passed by actually, even though right now you went back in time because it really 4 o'clock from where you left, but it's only...
No, less than 6 hours actually passed.
Okay, then you have to wait 6 hours. Okay. But if 6 hours passed... But on your watch, now you turn it back and the place they are now, it's only 3 hours past, right, on the clock, that you don't have to wait till you make up the time 9 hours later or 7 hours later to make it 6 hours.